gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, September 11th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today?
Just fine. Thank you very much. And again, thanks for filling in for Dave. He does seem to be recuperating nicely, so hopefully next week he'll be able to return, but I expect it'll probably be the following week. But we'll wait and see. And I do want to thank everybody for keeping Dave in your thoughts and prayers, and also the calls and comments that I received. So,
and for putting up with me.
And for that's the hardest part.
I bet it is. No doubt. Just ask my wife, Marcia Jean. She'll tell you.
And we have Wendy Wilson. She's standing by, or maybe sitting by. She's going to be joining us here in a few short minutes. But you know what? First, we have to get to the market report. So let's get to the gold prices. And boy, everybody, you'd think I'd be right here all ready for it. But we were talking prior to going on air. So, of course, I was sidetracked and gold was up. Yeah, it wasn't too sidetracked today. Up $14.96.80, up $10.50. $10.50 to the upside for gold. Silver was up 11 cents at $18.20, $18.20. Platinum was up $14 at $948. And palladium was up 15 at $1,578. And I'm going to talk about rhodium briefly because it had... It was tanking there for a long time. We ran it up to like $2,000, close to $3,000, and all of a sudden just started taking, kind of losing everybody's interest. It had the kind of day that we're going to see in gold. This is my prediction for gold. It's no guarantee, but it's my prediction. Or today, rhodium was up $350.
Wow.
Almost 9%. Went from 4,300 to 4,700. I do believe we're going to see days like that in gold. No question. Can't guarantee it, but that is my prediction. And I think it's going to be here sooner than later. So don't give up when you see these fluctuations. And I hear all the comments that people hear from the financial planners. Oh, sell your gold for silver. Sell your silver. You know, I mean, all kinds. Sell your $20 gold pieces for bullion. You want to do this. You want to do that. No, ladies and gentlemen, you don't. It depends on what you have, what's suitable for you, and that's how. Anytime you hear of any of these people's advice, you know, that's how you have to think about it. And of course, you have to think about giving me a call, because I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you if it's a good deal or a bad deal, and I'll back it up with numbers. So let's see what else is going on today. The USDX today is up 0.27 at 98.64. Crude oil was down 1.36 at 56.04. Now, I heard a lot of comments that oil tanked because of the security advisor stepping down and Bolton. So I don't know if that's it or not, but we'll talk about that here later on in the program. And the paper markets today, let's get to that real quick before we talk to Wendy. Of course, the Dow was up 227 points at 27,136. The NASDAQ is up over 1% up 85 points at 81.69. The S&P hitting 3,000, up 21 points. 10-year yield was stronger again today, 1.73%. Remember, we saw it briefly break that 150 level, so it's moved up quite a bit. Futures for gold, still in the December contract, 1504. Let's see, what else do we have to look at that's kind of interesting before we get to Wendy? Yeah, European Asian markets were fairly quiet. Everything is fine again. You know, you kind of ask yourself, what really happened to make everybody's opinion go from, you know, into the deepest, darkest level of fear into, hey, everything's okay. It really is amazing. Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs is joining us, as she does each and every Wednesday. We want to thank her so much for being able to do this and bringing everybody such great information. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Pastor Butch.
How are you, Wendy?
I'm a good. I thought we'd talk about some neurological problems that seems to follow an infection. And I know I've been talking quite a bit last few months about vaccines, but I keep coming across new data. So right now what we're seeing is a lot of reports on neurological diseases that follow an infection with fever, usually after a vaccine is given. And we're going to get into why science thinks this is happening. So why do people develop these neurological problems and some people don't? Well, according to the scientists, it depends on the person's genetic code and what pathogens are included in the serums that affect them. And there are some physicians who have reported that widespread use of vaccines and the combining of these pathogens is creating new diseases. So you could call it somewhat of a cover-up, because according to Dr. Anthony Morris, the chief virologist of the FDA between 1966 and 76, he said vaccines are the most highly guarded secret in medicine. So let's find out what most people aren't talking about. But I came across a little history, which I thought was kind of shocking, because most of us were told that vaccines started to be used around, they started to dabble in creating them in 1900, but it wasn't until the 30s that they rolled them out in mass use. Well, according to written history now, vaccines we find go back to 1000 AD. It could go further back, but without written documents, we just don't know. So in 1000 AD, the Chinese were vaccinating people with smallpox. And it wasn't Edward Jenner in 1796 who started the practice of using the smallpox vaccine, but he actually made it a sensation, and it became an accepted widespread medical practice. Now, the use of the Chinese serums did spread to Africa, Turkey, Europe, and eventually America. And then in 1885, we get the Louis Pasteur's rabies vaccine, and then came the diphtheria, tetanus, anthrax, cholera, plague, typhoid, tuberculosis. All these developed up through the 1930s. So why are they saying it's a genetic thing? Well, in many cases involving neurological conditions, it does get blamed on genetics. So how would a patient or a family member of a patient know any better if they were told that? So with regard to some of the neurological diseases, there are increasing posts now referring to the condition being a reaction between the genetics of the person and the vaccines. So in other words, the patient would not have been burdened with the neurological disorder if the vaccines had not provoked it. Isn't that an interesting thing?
Yes.
Here is a quote from the leading edge research group. They say one of the indicators that vaccines may in fact be changing the genetic structure of humans became evident in September 1971 when scientists at the University of Geneva discovered that biological substances entering directly into the bloodstream through inoculation become part of the human genetic structure. And you, as you know, they have a lot of animal DNA in these vaccines. Now, according to Dr. Robert Simpson of Rutgers University, he states that DNA effects from vaccines are serious. He says the vaccine serums cause changes in the RNA and the DNA, creating what he calls proviruses. And he says some proviruses can be latent for years before the disease manifests. And Dr. Simpson is reporting that these proviruses are included in your common vaccines, such as influenza, measles, mumps, and polio. He goes on to say, quote, persistence of long-term viruses and foreign proteins in vaccines has a unique and direct link to chronic and degenerative diseases, end of quote. Also, German scientists by the name of Zinchenko, along with his colleagues, reported on October 22, 1967, their report was in the British Medical Journal, that the neurological diseases of, let's say, multiple sclerosis, they listed MS, was created when medical science used vaccines that contained smallpox, typhoid fever, tetanus, polio, tuberculosis, and diphtheria. 1965, Zinchenko reported 12 cases of multiple sclerosis directly following a rabies, anti-rabies vaccine. Think about that. No MS before vaccines, guys.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and does anybody know what Tourette's syndrome is? Do you know what that is?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So in the 1800s, here's a neurologist by the name of Jean-Martin Charcot. He published works after treating many patients with Tourette's syndrome. So at that time, the neurological disorder occurred in childhood, and it was producing motor tics and a lack of control over vocal speech. So in 1885, Dr. Chereau wrote that the disorder originated in encephalitis, which is inflammation of the brain, and it was not a psychological disorder at all. He said it was completely biological in nature. He says he suspected it was due to the use of vaccines. And by this time, the neurological condition had developed, and there was these crude vaccines in use for children. So they were trying to address diseases like smallpox, whooping cough, typhoid fever, measles, yellow fever, rubella, chicken pox, influenza, cowpox, polio, diphtheria, rabies, tuberculosis, and pneumonia. So they had quite a few vaccines circulating in the 1800s. Now, many of these vaccines, they used animal parts to culture the disease on. The first animal vaccines came to the United States in 1870, and Dr. Chereau knew the vaccines were creating these epidemics of disease in children. However, the medical establishment was bent on blaming the condition on heredity and environmental events, and they're still doing that today. So the vaccines cause lesions on the brain, which is causing a lot of inflammation and the encephalitis. And this affects neurological function, and the person has tics and behavioral disturbances. Now, in 2000, this study reported that 1 in 10 children per 1,000 are developing Tourette syndrome. So that's 53,000 to 530,000 children per year just in the United States. And sadly, a majority of them are undiagnosed at first. But Tourette syndrome is worldwide in countries where vaccines are given to children. Think about that. So the research is finding that Tourette's is about, they're trying to find drugs to suppress the symptoms and possibly find a gene they can edit to correct the so-called genetic disorder. But it wouldn't be a disorder if they weren't vaccinated. Here's what Massachusetts General Hospital said in March 2019. They were quoted in the American Journal of Psychiatry. They said Tourette syndrome is a chronic neurological disorder linked to hundreds of genes working in combination to contribute to the development. Now, keep that in mind, what I just said, because I'm going to back that up with some research on that. Now, the RNA and DNA in vaccines that is affecting human DNA is creating a lot of these disorders. Science doesn't want to admit the vaccines are creating these changes in the human genes. They refuse to see the vaccines are creating a domino effect, which with each generation, the genetic codes are further degraded, and the diseases are then more prevalent, embedded in the gene code, and then passed on. So technically, it can be an inherited disorder, but it all started with the vaccines that, you know, started it. They were the culprit. They provoked it. The vaccines provoked this neurological change. And then, of course, you hear a lot about immune system disorders, like immunosuppressive immune system disorders. And they say to the patient, well, it's your immune system. It's turning on you. It's your immune system's fault. So the emergence of these autoimmune system diseases in the last 100 years, and I think it sounds pretty strange that your body's own immune system would turn on you and attack you. This is scientifically explained in research where scientists are saying the vaccines are changing the DNA just enough so the immune system thinks the tissue is foreign. So examples of vaccines ruining people's immune systems are people with rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, and multiple sclerosis. So here's a quote from Postgraduate Medicine Journal, 1962. They said, although the body generally will not make antibodies against its own tissues, it appears that slight modification of the antigenic character of tissues may cause it to appear foreign to the immune system and thus be a fair target for antibody protection. So what the animal DNA in the serums is doing is affecting our own DNA genetic code, and then the immune system thinks that's not you, but something else, and is giving you autoimmune disorders.
And Wendy, isn't an autoimmune disease, doesn't it cover an awful lot of diseases, including diabetes and different things?
Right. They actually have traced through scientific research that a lot of these vaccines are creating childhood diabetes. That's it.
Wow.
So the vaccines have been really part of this huge program And they're changing DNA, they're changing human genetic code, they're changing how your cells react to disease. So really, vaccines are the new plagues. And if you remember what Moses was telling the people of Israel, obey and receive the blessings, disobey and receive the cursings, which would be all the plagues of Egypt, which you are fearful of, and all the plagues that are not written of in this book. So we have these plagues in our modern time. And now with these new vaccines, they have GM viruses, they have combined diseases. These are all with carcinogens in them. Here is a quote from the Journal of the American Medical Association, November 23rd, 1964. Also, it appeared in Science the year before, December 15th, 1961. They say common non-tumor viruses, including those in smallpox and polio vaccines, act as carcinogens. These viruses act as catalysts to produce cancer, especially when given with known organic carcinogens in small amounts to induce the tumors. Of course, this means that some vaccines will induce cancer.
So they've known this for 60 years.
Yeah, they have. And here's a quote from Science, April 4th, 1977. They said the polio vaccination has caused 100% of all polio in the United States since 1980, and the predominant cases of the paralytic polio, the ones that paralyze you, since 1972. They go on to say it is suspected that the Salk and Sabin vaccines made the monkey tissue cultures have been responsible for the increase in leukemia cases in the United States. And, you know, we see these poor kids, and, you know, with all these rare cancers, they're saying it's rare, rare, rare. They're building children in cancer hospitals, and I'm pretty sure it's because of the vaccines. And where vaccines are going is they're going to produce vaccines for sleep disorders, behavioral disorders, phobias, addictions, of course, and
of
the
course.
List goes on. So, yeah.
So, and they're pushing them really hard. Matter of fact, California is making so no exemptions are allowed. It's really getting nasty.
Yeah, New York's trying to pass that too. Well, be aware, you have some rights. You have God's promise that herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nation. God can't lie. So use your herbs to empower yourself, protect yourself. Reverse vaccines. If you want to learn how to do that, give us a call at Apothecary Herbs. We can help you figure that out. The number is 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is the web address. Also, this Saturday is Organic Saturday, Melanie, so we're going to have a special. Yeah.
All right.
Celebration.
It's always good to celebrate.
Absolutely.
Really something that's healthy.
Right.
It's better than that bottle of Jack Daniels to celebrate. So make sure you celebrate with Wendy and her organics. Give her a call. We're heading into a break right now. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. truthandradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And I promise, ladies, it's just been so hectic. So many things have been going on. And tomorrow, please make sure you have your paper, pencils, because we're going to start talking a little bit more about gold and silver and these markets. And I had a great conversation and some advice that on the programs perhaps we need to become a little more educational as far as like when we talk about the GDP. Well, you know, maybe we ought to, you know, go into a little more details about the GDP, explain it, the S&P, you know, a little more educational. And it is true, doing this for 25 years, you kind of think that because I know it and you know it, that everybody should know it. So, you know, we're going to try to go down and start bringing that into the programs. And the reason I bring that up, because the first article I want to talk to you about briefly, Butch, is Hong Kong made a $37 billion bid for the London Stock Exchange. This was a surprise. This is a $37 billion U.S. dollars. In euros, it was 30, or the pound, I should say, was 30. Takeover bid for the London Stock Exchange. Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing said today it had made a proposal to combine the two companies in a cash and share deal worth the $39 billion, including debt. If it happens, this takeover would create the world's third biggest stock exchange group behind the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ in terms of the value of companies that are listed on those markets. It would be the biggest foreign takeover of a UK-listed company since Japan, the Japanese pharmaceuticals maker Takeda, bought Shire last year in 2018. So it does face some hurdles. Hong Kong's offer comes at a sensitive time politically. You have Brexit. The uncertainty there is certainly casting a shadow over London's role as a global financial center. At the same time, you have Hong Kong, Asia's premier financial hub. They have been, of course, we all know, we talked about on this program, they have been rocked by months of the pro-democracy protests, sparked by the concerns that Beijing is tightening its grip on the city. Now, that's what I find interesting, because who rules Hong Kong, Butch?
Yeah, right, exactly. That is interesting. That is interesting. Why would they be interested in buying the London Stock Exchange in the first place?
So here, this transaction would give Hong Kong control of equity markets in the United Kingdom and Italy, as well as key infrastructure for European debt markets, and would therefore face elevated political risks. Historically, it does have political objections. But the London Stock Exchange is a critically important part of the UK financial system. So as you would expect, you know, these details, it's going to be looked at, and, you know, we don't know how serious they will, you know, go through it, because you're going to have the government and the regulators looking at this. But I think find it really interesting. Now, Hong Kong said the deal was about connecting the plumbing between the two markets, giving investors and insurers access to a larger pool of capital. Yeah, sure. I found that kind of interesting.
I can't imagine London would even want to sell it in the first place.
Well, you know, I think, look at the changes that we talk about that we think is going to face the world. We have the LIBOR rate. That's going to cease to exist in a couple of years. So there's going to be a lot of changes coming out of there. And look at the power China would hold.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Put it almost in a class beside us, by itself.
Yeah. And it puts China a whole new different ballpark.
Yes, it does.
So,
it certainly does.
So you talk about the changes that we face financially in the future. Even if everything is all good and rosy and peachy, it's changing. It's changing. We are losing, I believe, our power. I mean, financially, globally. And it's debt. They're all going to have problems. If we all drop to the same level, we'll have to see who rises out of the ashes. But, when you have statements, there was out of CNBC today, they talk, and he's not the only one. They do like to pick on President Trump. You know, he talks about Trump can spin economic numbers, but he likely can't manipulate them. Well, I disagree with that. Government, not just Trump, but government, past presidents, future presidents, politicians, whatever, they can spin the economic numbers, and they can manipulate them. So it's kind of interesting on that. Trump is continuing to focus on the Fed, that they should cut rates to zero or less. He talks about how the U.S. should refinance the debt.
And in your opinion, is that a good idea?
No. Well, that's what they're going to happen. It's going to happen. What I can't believe, what I truly can't believe, that he comes out here and he says that the U.S. should refinance the debt and the markets go up 200 points. So that means they're beginning to tire of some of his rants. Because if anybody had said that, you'd think you'd have a huge drop.
Well, you know, you called the Fed, some of the Fed guys, they're boneheads too, so you figure it out. I don't know. I can't see what that would be a good move, but I'm not by any means a financial expert, but I can't imagine where that would help anybody.
No, it's not. I mean, you're going to have. He's really talking about negative rates. We talk about negative rates on this program all the time. That's where we're headed. And then we should start to refinance our debt. Well, that's just the old debt. What about our new debt? They're not even addressing the new debt. They're also talking about lengthening the term. We've talked about there's countries going in there talking about 100-year, 50 and 100-year treasuries. This is where we're headed, ladies and gentlemen. It isn't healthy. And I think what President Trump is doing is it's just planting the seeds. Because, you know, you hear talk like this, it gets discussed, and over a period of time, it becomes the normal. Oh, yeah, let's do it. And people don't, it's just not going to happen without each and every one of us feeling pain, financial pain.
Very true.
And that financial pain is financial loss. So, no, it is not good. It tells me just how desperate. And it tells me just how closer we are to having the day of reckoning for our past. And there is no cure. You just can't go out and renegotiate your debt. It means losses. And President Trump mentioned it during the campaign trail. Look at the treasuries. Oh, we'll just have to think of the losses. These are not gains. These are losses. So.
Yep.
Somebody's going to lose.
It might be curable, but it's going to hurt like you know what. You know, we can't do
it. It's not curable.
I was going to say, if the only way to be curable is go back to a sound money policy. But that would mean that you throw the dead out the window and say we don't know it, forget about it, and start over again. And that would be a huge hit to a lot of people.
Absolutely.
So it may be curable, but it's going to destroy the economy for a while until it rebuilds. That's what it's going to take if they want to do it. And they're not going to do it because that would hurt many people. That would maybe cause them to lose a few votes, too. So they're not going to do that. But the wise thing would be say the debt is bogus. We don't owe it. We're not going to pay it. We're going back to gold and silver backed currency. And it would let it reboot itself and start over again. But that would disrupt a society that runs on debt to the point that it would bankrupt a lot of people.
It would. And there's even comments out there saying that it's just not viable. So again, I think they're just planting the seeds or something, and it would destroy everything. Debt, Mark Zandi, he says the debt is not prepayable. There's a contractual relationship between the Treasury has with investors. This isn't a mortgage. This is U.S. Treasury debt. And it would disrupt all financial markets around the world. All your pension plans. Think of what it would do to your pension plans.
Yes, it would.
And your retirement accounts. So.
Yes, it would.
It would destroy it. So, I don't know. No one's paying any attention to it, Butch.
No, of course not. Everything's still running. The stock market's up, like you said. Everything is rosy. Next year's election, we'll probably get somebody in better than Trump that will save the country, and it goes on and on and on, right down the road, until it's just finally over. But, you know, I wanted to make mention very quickly about two things that happened with the Dorian in the Bahamas, and last year in Puerto Rico. Now, mainly we're talking about two island nations, right? Two island nations, more or less. They have been wiped off the map, so to speak. Am I telling the truth?
Parts of Puerto Rico was, yes. But there's
It's still going to take years to recover. Mm-hmm. And the Bahamas is all but wiped out.
Right.
It's going to take them years to recover. Now, people are, well, another conspiracy theory. And I'm not saying it is or isn't. But it seems odd to me that the islands, these two main islands, got hit so hard. And actually more or less missed the mainland of the United States, and that's good. But two islands that depend on tourism to make it, and they're poor islands to start with, have been knocked down on their knees. That is sad. If it just happened by the force of nature, that is terribly sad. It's a tragedy. But if what I've been reading, it could be planned, that's even worse. But I just thought it was kind of strange that these two nations that were poor to start with have been hit that hard. The territory of Puerto Rico and the Bahamas. So it just kind of breaks my heart to see these folks. I'm not saying they're all good people, but they have children that are trying to eat like we are. And they were devastated. So I just want to make that comment. You know,
they are all good people until we know otherwise.
That's right, exactly.
They're all good people until we know otherwise. But the thing of it is, I'm like you, I don't buy into the weather conspiracy. Yes, I do know about HARP, and I get that there is manipulation. I get that I understand all that, but I also don't know which storm that they actually contribute to, strengthening, weakening, directing, and so forth. I don't have proof.
I
can't
either.
See it. So until then, but you can look at the something that isn't normal, the irregularities of this. And when you follow this last storm, Dorian, like I said, all you heard the Weather Channel talk about was this big front and how it was going to slam into Florida and so forth and whatnot. And then all of a sudden they stopped talking about this front. Once in a while they would mention the other front and that the storm was going north. They didn't really talk about why it was going north.
They said two fronts merged and caused it. I don't know, but I know it's the strongest winds, recorded winds, I guess so far in any hurricane, 220 miles per hour. It was actually higher than a Category 5. The Category 5 is high as it go. So, I don't know.
To me, it was acting a little...
A little weird.
A little weird.
Yeah, you're right.
But I have no proof. That's beyond my pay grade.
Well, this one is in your pay grade. Retail bankruptcies rise, store closures skyrocket in the first half of 2019. Store closures in the first 6 months of the year have already exceeded the number of bricks and mortar stores closed in 2018. And Melody, there were thousands closed in 2018. In the first 6 months this year, we've already passed that. That's not a good sign, is it?
Not for retail, absolutely not. Not for our economy.
I mean, that is shocking to say the least. It's already past 2018, 2018, having 2017. So is this going to be an ongoing process with each year till finally the retail stores are basically out of business? That's something to think about. Brick and mortar stores are taking hits for a lot of reasons, I'm sure. One of them, of course, online shopping. But I can't say that's all of it. I don't believe it's all of it. There's something else going on here. I thought you may have an opinion on that.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think it's all just because it's online shopping. You know, we talk about these numbers time and time again. And you talk about a lot of these retail stores. I mean, look what they did to Sears. You know, they ran they run them into the ground. Then they have a guy that comes in and swoops them up. You know, they eliminate the debt, or a good part of it. They renegotiate the retirement accounts through their bankruptcy restructuring, they call it. They don't call it bankruptcy anymore. It's restructuring. It's a kinder, gentler word. So you know, they don't have to pay out the pensions and all their promises. So it's just not our dollar that's a promise to pay. It's everything. But so I think that's a big part of it too. You know, you have this management. It's like okay, but there's a lot of influence. You know, you have these unions and everything else. I don't think there's unions in retail, but in some of these other businesses, you have unions and so forth. That it's sometimes it is difficult for businesses to do what they're supposed to do, but it's not healthy. These are 2x4s floating through the air.
And do these some of these stores have a pension plan that I would think that people paid into for years?
Well, sure, the big ones do.
When yeah, well, when like they go Sears. Out, I mean, what happens to the pension plans?
Well, they're usually renegotiated, and yeah, you lose a lot of your benefits.
Money. That's the whole point. And at the time in your life when you need it, you don't have it.
Yep.
That's sad. And this article here thinks it's a lot about Russia and China's resolve to, walk away from the United States dollar. It says Russia and China continue massive substitution of dollar assets by gold. And while most politicians are all talk, in the case of both Russia and China, their actions speak louder than their words. China's foreign exchange reserve jumped 3.1072 trillion despite the falling yuan and escalating trade war with the U.S., while raising its gold holdings by 2.89 million troy ounces, or 99 tons, in the last 9 months. Wow.
Let's break down. Yes, it is. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And where would you like to start, Butch? I just have one question for you, if you want to finish up what we were talking about.
Go ahead.
Did you talk about the Bolton yesterday?
I did, briefly. Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
I did. You want to say something about it? Go ahead.
No, not at all.
Okay, yeah. Sure did. That makes what? Three or four he's fired. National Security heads. Is that his third one or fourth one? He went through a couple.
It's the third one.
Third one. So he went through a few of them. I mean, that's it. I guess that's his privilege, and I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, we all knew Bolton was a warmonger and everything like that.
Absolutely. Even Trump said if Bolton had his way, he'd we'd be at war with everybody in the world, but that's what Trump said. So anyway, another interesting.
I'm just going to say this: I'm not a fan of Pompeo though either, so I don't know who's.
You want to know the truth? I'm not a fan of hardly anybody up there. And I say start Trump.
They're all elite.
I have no confidence in any of them, and I haven't for a long, long, long time. But I don't care if it's been a Republican, Democrat, or it's been. My confidence in the government, especially the federal government, is almost zero. Well, it is zero. State governments, and local governments, maybe a little bit. But for national government, no. I'm no confidence in them at all. I think we're run by a bunch of... let's not get into that. But anyway, China waives tariffs on 16 types of U.S. goods in latest attempt to sweeten trade deal. For the first time since the U.S.-China trade war began, Beijing has waived import tariffs on more than a dozen U.S. goods, FT reports. Beginning September 17th, China will remove 25% tariffs on 16 types of U.S. exported goods for 1 year, a sign of goodwill ahead of talks between U.S. and Chinese trade delegations. Cancer drugs, lubricant oils, and a handful of chemicals which China either doesn't produce itself or can't easily replace by buying from other countries, made it on the list. No major items like soybeans or pork, and that's a biggie for the farmers, of course. I was hoping that'd be part of it, were included in the list for the excluded item, as Beijing has turned to other countries like Argentina and Brazil to source many of these products. I was really hoping some of these might help the farmers. I really was, Melanie, because the farmers are hurting. I mean, they filed bankruptcy in record numbers. Anyway, if farmers go under... and conglomerates buy them out, who knows what quality of food we're going to have?
You know what I find interesting is that it's part of taking that off is drugs, did you say?
Mm-hmm. It's cancer drugs.
Cancer drugs? Yeah, let's accommodate the pharmaceutical industry.
Of course. I mean, they're hardly making it, right? They're barely living paycheck to paycheck. So, yeah, we got to help
them. It's not going to bring down prices for any of the... items that are needed anyway, so...
Well, you have to wonder, too, about China as far as its economy, because America's, you look at one thing in America, I mentioned yesterday that they dropped the credit score for Ford Motor Company to junk status. Mm-hmm. It says Chinese auto sales crashed for the 14th time in 15 months, falling almost 10%, 9.9%. And this is an ongoing plunge, it says, in this recession in China with automobiles. And they make more cars than anybody else in the world. So I got to wonder, China's economically is hurting too. But I just tell you that they just bought 99 tons of gold. There's a lot of different signals here that are not making a lot of sense. The economy's slowing down. They're buying more gold, trying to undermine the dollar. And I can understand all that. But how does this work that the economy is dropping down in such a drastic way in some areas, but they keep on buying more gold and explain it to me.
Thank you, Butch.
You're welcome.
Putting me on the spot. Look, the numbers we get from any government, whether it be ours or theirs or whose, you can't believe any of them. You know, and it's called debt. I mean, it's that simple. Whatever they go out and use, it's debt. So, I mean, hey, their stock market has been rising. You know, it's such a disconnect from everything. But when you look, China has always been a country that accumulates hard assets, commodities. They get the value of commodities, the rare earth minerals and things like that. They go into Africa and they search out. They know how to, you know, juggle, I suppose. But I mean,
they're not
any better or worse than we are. Everybody says, well, look at their debt. They carry so much more debt than we do. It's all relative, ladies and gentlemen. It's all bad, period. It's debt that can't be paid.
And they carry the debt on the back of what? A billion people, I'm guessing, billion and a half. We carry ours on the back of 300 million. So, you're right, it is relative. And this, I saw this and I thought about this. Wow, I hope this doesn't escalate to something bigger. But U.S. drops 40 tons of bombs on IS-infested island in Iraq. The U.S. coalition says American warplanes have dropped 36,000 kilograms, 40 tons, of bombs on an island in the Tigris River infested with members of the Islamic State group. The coalition said F-15 F-35 warplanes took part in a bombing on Qantas Island in the central province of Salahedine, north of capital Baghdad. Tuesday's attack is part of the operations carried out by Iraqi forces and the U.S. coalition against ISIS, which was defeated in Iraq in 2017. This war is never going to end. The Middle East has been a drag on America for years. And of course, Israel is the instigator of this. We know that. And as Pat Buchanan said, our Congress is Israeli occupied territory. We know that. This war is never going to end, Melody. How many trillions of dollars has this cost us already? And how many thousands of lives and young people has this cost already? And it still is. The war in Afghanistan been going on now for how long? 20 years?
There is no peace in the Middle East.
No, there isn't.
There is no peace. I mean, Russia tried to go in there, and they got their little tails whacked, and they had to leave. We're in there, and we're there for how many years? 17 years, 18 years, you name it. And why?
Good question.
You can't make agreements. You can't make a treaty or an agreement with the Taliban. I mean, it's to me...
In order to, and I'm not a professor, but in order to understand who you can trust, you have to look at their religion, Melody. When a religion teaches that they must propagate their religion no matter how much you have to deceive the enemy or how many you have to kill, you can't trust them to make a deal with you. So the Muslim religion is a religion that says we will conquer the world by force, and you either become a Muslim or we kill you. How do you trust a group like that?
You don't.
You don't, no.
You can't pretend that you do.
No. Well, if you do, you're making a fool out of yourself. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Russia considers possibility of $25 oil next year. Now, this is kind of a shocking article. Russia is considering the notion that oil prices may be as low as $25 per barrel in 2020, the country's central bank said in its new forecast published on Monday, as cited by Reuters. Russia's central bank has forecast its macroeconomic forecast that oil could possibly hit that low due to falling demand for oil and oil products worldwide, as well as from disappointing global economic growth. Now, that could be absolutely partly true. The doom and gloom scenario was just one proposed by the bank. If that risk scenario actually materialized, Russia's inflation could increase to 7 or 8% next year on the back of a falling gross domestic product. Russia is perhaps uniquely positioned to withstand low oil prices, although $25 a barrel is pretty bleak. Could that happen? That's a good question. We know that the world economy is slowing down. We know that the shipping lanes are very slow. I guess this possibility could happen, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you know, we went to $25 not too many years ago, so yeah, it could go there. But it, you know, it totally destroys, you know, the industry. You know, OPEC or the Saudis, not OPEC, but the Saudis. You know, I'm reading they want $80 a barrel in order to do their IPO. I guess they've chosen Bank of America. And so I don't think they're going to get 8. That means they have to run it to 80. Maybe Russia is saying, you know, trying to compete somehow with that. I don't think they're going to get 80. Maybe they're just trying, they say 80, but maybe they just want 70. Who knows? I mean, it's, so again, it's not what happens many times or not what is done. It's what is said to see if it impacts the markets. And yeah, oil was down a buck and a half today, so.
Well, time will tell. It really, really will. But when you have a bank in Russia, a central bank, discussing this, I guess they have a reason for it. And here's something that's not financial, but I think quite telling on the country. The DMVs are selling your data to private investigators. Now, folks, this is unbelievable. Years ago, I told many times about the driver's license. I did not have 12 years because I would not do a digital picture for the reason that that's up on Interpol, goes worldwide. But the Department of Motor Vehicles in states around the country are taking drivers' personal information and selling it to thousands of businesses, including private investigators, who spy on people for a profit, motherboard has learned. DMV sells the data for an array of approved purposes, such as to insurance or tow companies, but some of them have sold to more nefarious businesses as well. Multiple states have made tens of millions of dollars a year selling data. Melody, again, the states are out to make every dollar they can get, no matter how they can get it. If it means hurting us, big deal. But motherboard has obtained hundreds of pages of documents from DMVs through public records requests that lay out the practice. Members of the public may not be aware that when they provide their name, address, in some cases other personal information to DMV, folks, that include your digital number, your face and fingerprint, an iris scan, for the purpose of getting a driver's license or registering a vehicle, DMV often then turns around and offers this information, that information for sale. Many of the private investigators that DMV have sold data to explicitly advertise that they will surveil spouses to see if they're cheating.
Oh my.
Doesn't that make you feel good to go to the DMV and get your driver's license that you've already bought for the 100th time? I mean, and they made tens of millions of dollars off of it. Oh, where the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 9 that they would make merchandise of us. We become
merchandise.
We become chattel. You know, we're owned. Yep. It says that they have dominion over your body. That's what it says, and they're doing it.
They're doing
Even
it.
The driver's license now is used to make money off of.
And you know what's really sad? As we stand back and just allow it to happen.
I agree. I totally
all
agree.
All for the sake of convenience. All for the sake of this. All for the sake of that.
And I told you that yesterday.
You know, and you know, it's, you know, I'm reading about all the surveillance, the face recognition at airports and all of this and all of that. It's just, it doesn't matter anymore.
No, it doesn't.
Even those who 15 years ago mattered. You know, those who understood was outraged. Even that's gone anymore.
Well, 20 years ago, people were outraged about homosexuality was making a come on and gaining ground. Now most of them shrug at it.
I mean, I'm talking about the Patriot Act. I'm talking about
the Patriot Act.
Sure,
it's
just like they just sign on. It goes on, and nobody even, you know. There's some good reporting out there and so forth that still do it and everything, but we've just come to accept everything anymore.
Well, of course, today's 9/11, 18th anniversary, and there's a lot still news coming up about 9/11, and will any heads ever roll over that? I doubt it, but it's still been exposed. And I'm just reading today that the 2,000-page Patriot Act was written before 9/11 happened.
Yes.
What a coincidence. Just at the right time, man. Good thing we had this written up. We never knew what could happen here, but here it is, and we got this already. We had a spare tire all along. Y'all didn't know it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And another quick topic, too. 33,000 newsroom jobs have been sliced in the last 10 years. 33,000 newspaper jobs are gone. They said that the digital newsprinting is hired about 6,000, which is about a fifth of what it takes to replace these jobs in newspapers. But newspapers, Melody, are almost a thing of the past. You know that also.
Yes, I do.
And you know, that was one time was that was a, a, thing that we never thought would ever go away. Everybody wanted the newspaper. But 33,000 jobs in the last 10 years have been lost in the newspaper industry. And nothing's taken up the slack. And that, to me, that's a sad passing of history. I'll try to cover one more thing here before we run out of time.
Go right ahead.
We've heard global warming, carbon taxes, cows farting, and all kinds of stuff, right? For more than 60 years, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration has known that the changes occurring to planetary weather patterns are completely natural and normal. But the space agency, for whatever reason, has chosen to let the man-made global warming hoax persist and spread to the detriment of human freedom. It was the year 1958, to be precise, when NASA first observed the changes in the solar orbit of the Earth, along with alterations to the Earth's axial tilt, are both responsible for what comet scientists declared to dub as warming or cooling, depending on the agenda. In no way, shape, or form are humans warming or cooling the planet by driving SUVs or eating beef, in other words. Now, this is natural news, folks. This is about natural news, a very reliable source. And we have been duped and duped and duped and still being duped.
Over and over and over again. But
absolutely.
You can plan and protect yourself against...
Yes, you can.
Against them. And that's, of course, gold and silver. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Thank you, Butch. We'll be talking tomorrow. And Thank you, listeners. We'll be back. And I hope you are, too. So until then... good night and God bless.